Morning, church. How are we doing this morning? Beautiful morning, isn't it? I love this time. I guess first day of fall is this week, right? Wednesday, Thursday, something like that. Somebody's applauding that. That's okay. I love fall. Fall's a great time of year. It's good to have you here with us this morning. Good to have you online with us. I am Pastor Vern, and we are in a series on spiritual disciplines. Wouldn't it be nice if you could sign up for classes at Planet Fitness, and all you had to do was go and sit in an easy chair while some machine is hooked up to you, and it works out all of your muscles painlessly in about 5 minutes, and you go home, and you bulk up, and you look really good after a week or two, right? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't it be nice if you could actually, and I know this has been tried, and I think the science says it doesn't work, but you could go to bed at night, put in some earbuds. I was going to say headphones, but that kind of gets old, right? Now it's earbuds or whatever. Put in some earbuds and put on a Teach Me Spanish podcast and go to sleep, and in the morning you wake up completely fluent in Spanish, or Italian, or Russian, or whatever language you want to learn. Wouldn't that be wonderful if you could do that? Wouldn't it be nice if you could give your life to Jesus, and in an instant, he would completely eradicate all sinful thoughts and all practices that aren't beneficial to your walk, your spiritual life. He could just completely remake you in a moment. Wouldn't that be nice, right? How many of you know none of those things work that way? Right? Do you know that? So that's why we're talking about the spiritual disciplines. And Pastor John did a great job last week of getting us started on this and talking about the idea that we have to practice, right? We have to actually do things if we want to become what God considers us when we give our lives to Jesus. What am I talking about? When we give our lives to Jesus, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, God considers us at that moment holy and righteous and pure. You know that, right? We don't do anything except admit our sinfulness, admit that we are failures at living up to God's standards, recognize that Jesus Christ died for us on the cross to pay for all of our sin and to cleanse us and purify us from all sin. We put our faith in what he has done, his death on the cross, his resurrection, and in that moment, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are born again, we are given new life, we are new people. God looks at us as holy and righteous. Somebody say praise the Lord, okay? Because that is an awesome thing, that all we have to do is trust in Jesus and God considers us holy and righteous. It's beautiful. However, that's not the end of the story, right? Because then God wants us to cooperate with his Holy Spirit to become the people, to become actually holy and righteous, okay? He considers us holy and righteous. He accepts us and looks at us in that way through Christ. But then he invites us into this relationship where we can grow to actually become holy and righteous and pure. And that's what the spiritual disciplines are about. They are just some of the ways that Christians throughout the centuries have used to draw closer to Christ and to grow in their relationship with him and to become holier and more righteous people. Okay? That's what we're talking about when we talk about the disciplines. But we do not want you to mess that up and get confused. We do not do these things that I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about four of them today. We're not doing those things in order to get accepted by God. All right? We're not doing them to get accepted by God. Our acceptance by God is completely based in our faith in Jesus Christ. But we do these things to grow in our relationship with God, okay? That's what they're about. So, spiritual disciplines, we're going to talk about four of them today. They're the inward disciplines, and inward is a term that Richard Foster used to describe these. Richard Foster wrote the classic book on spiritual disciplines many years ago called Celebration of Discipline. You can still get it. It's widely available if you're interested in reading about these more in depth. But these are the four inward disciplines that we're going to talk about today. Before I tell you what they are, here's my main point. We are always in the process of being shaped into one thing or another. Christian spiritual disciplines are strategies for being shaped to be more like Jesus. Okay, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Jesus is perfect God and perfect man. And I will never be like Jesus in the sense of his divinity, right? We will never be like Jesus in the sense of him being the perfect God, okay? We will not have his omniscience. We will not have his power. You know, he is God. But he's also perfect person, perfect human being. And when Jesus walked the earth, he was giving us a picture of what it means to be a human being who is perfect, right? Who lives a perfect life before God. I want that. I want to be as perfect a human being as I can be with God's help. I want to be more and more like Jesus all the time. I praise the Lord that God has made me more like Jesus. But I know when I look in the mirror, when I examine my heart, there's room to grow, right? There are still things that got to be taken care of and ways I need to grow. And that's what the spiritual disciplines are designed to help us to do, to grow, to be more like Jesus Christ. I have some pictures I'm going to share with you today as we go through the message. And the first one is this. This is a little maple tree. And this is a tree that Deb and I planted. We don't have a lot of trees on our property, and we love red maples. And so we decided it was late summer, I think early fall, we would buy a red maple and we would plant it. So we did. We bought it and we carefully put it into our SUV and brought it home and dug a hole and put it in the hole, and then we braced it because it gets very windy where we are, and we didn't want the winter winds to knock it over. So we kind of braced it and we took care of it. We examined it this spring, and we let loose the braces so that it could, you know, kind of learn to be strong in the winds now and the breezes in the summer and that kind of thing. And we've examined it for bugs and that kind of stuff. We're doing everything we can, right, to help this tree to grow. And it'll probably be a blessing to the people that live there after we're gone, you know, by the time it actually is full grown and beautiful. But we are enjoying our red maple. Now, we've done all that we can. God has got to do his part, right? God brings the sun, God brings the breeze, God brings the rain, God puts the nutrients in the ground, and God is going to do his part. What he has asked us to do is to do our part to grow like the tree. He will do his part. And so that's why I show you the tree kind of as a representation of that this is a cooperative thing between us and God. When we're talking about growing spiritually, God will do his part, but he wants us to do our part. In Matthew 12:33, I was reminded of this verse: make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. I hope that you want to produce good fruit for the Lord. If you're in Christ, I hope that part of what you think about on a regular basis is, I want to produce good fruit for God. I want to be fruitful and productive for the Lord. However he calls me to do that, I want to do that. Richard Foster said, the disciplines allow us to place ourselves before God so that he can transform us. That's a short way of saying everything I've said in this introduction, right? The disciplines put us before God so that he can transform us. So what are the four we're going to talk about today? They are meditation, prayer, fasting, and study. Another way to think about them is meditation is thinking about God, prayer is talking with God, fasting is learning to trust God more, and study is being taught by God. So we're going to be talking about thinking about God, trusting God, talking with God, and being taught by God. So here's the next picture. I want to say this is where the magic happens. Sometimes it's where the nap happens, okay? But honestly. But this is my chair. Do you have your chair? Do you have a chair? Is this a guy thing more than a woman's thing? Do women have their chairs? You do. Okay. All right. So it's not just a guy thing. But how many? I'm just guys. How many of you have your chair? All right. Right. And so nobody sits there except you, right? Maybe if guests come, you know, you let them sit there, right? But that's where the remote control's right here, right? The Pepsi's on the table over here, right? It's all perfect. Okay. So, well, that's my chair. I will sit there this afternoon and watch the Buffalo Bills win against Miami. That's what I'm going to do, okay? yeah. So anyway, And I also sit there. I do let my grandchildren sit with me in my chair. Okay, so that's allowed to. But here, why am I showing you this picture? That's my meditation chair as well. That's my meditation chair. That you can't see it. On the other side of that chair, down on the floor, is my Bible and my prayer journal. And that's where I sit in the morning. And I open up the Bible and I read. And meditation is one of those things. Meditation can sound, you know, kind of weird to some people. You know, it's really not just sitting on the floor and going, it's not, that's not meditation in the biblical Christian way. Meditation is simply taking the time to think about God and what God is saying to us. That's what meditation is, taking the time to think about God and what God is saying to us. Richard Foster, in Celebration of Discipline, he says, what happens in meditation is that we create the emotional and spiritual space which allows Christ to construct an inner sanctuary in the heart. This is a sanctuary. This room is called a sanctuary in the church. A sanctuary is a place that is set aside for meeting with God. So what Foster is saying is that when we meditate on Scripture or we meditate on what God is doing, we are creating a space within our heart for meeting with God. That's a meeting place. The soul, the heart, is our meeting place with God. And that's what meditation is about. How does that happen? Well, usually it means we're going to want to get into a quiet place somewhere. It might be a chair like this. It might be a bench out in the prayer walk. It might be, you know, just a walk through a park. But someplace quiet, someplace usually alone, where we're going to spend some time reading Scripture and not reading it quickly and kind of, you know, okay, good, I checked off. I did my daily reading. But really slowing down and thinking about what God is saying to us in the Scripture. That's what makes it meditation, okay? It's thinking about it, pondering it, taking the time to let it really sink in with us. I've done that in that chair. I do it here at the church. I had a summer job years ago where I cut the lawns in cemeteries, and I did it all by myself. So I was out there all day cutting and trimming, and at lunchtime I would sit in my car and I had a little Gideon Bible and I would open up that and I would read, and then I would meditate in that lunchtime, and I would meditate as I'm mowing the lawns. Cemetery is a great place to meditate about God, let me tell you, if you take a walk. I know Pastor Marcia, actually, I just thought Pastor Marcia loves to go through the Albion Cemetery, right, and meditate there and pray there. So anyway, I would pray there and think. I had a beautiful experience meditating years ago. I gave up hunting. I'm no good at it. I know some of you are great. I tried it. I'm just no good at it. I think the deer laugh at me, you know. but I did have this beautiful experience down in Gowanda where I was out hunting with some guys, and I was in a tree stand and got up there before, you know, dawn. And as the light of dawn started to come, there was also a very light snowfall that started to come down. And I didn't even care about hunting anymore. It was such a beautiful moment to be in that tree stand, and the snow was falling down, very light and fluffy. And I just sat there thinking about God and how beautiful this was. And that's what meditation is about. It's just taking the time to slow down and think about God. The Bible offers us some suggestions for meditating. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night." So we meditate on Scripture. Lately, I have been meditating on a verse from the Psalms, Psalm 51:12. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." That's a verse that I started to meditate on as you know, things, again, I've said this before and totally mean it. Things have been really good here at Northgate in all of this COVID season, everything we've been going through. The church has been great. But it's still been, you know, it's still stressful at times. It's still, you know, making decisions and trying to do the right thing for everybody and take care of things. So, you know, I was finding myself just kind of feeling weighed down about that stuff at one point, and went like last year when we weren't able to meet in person and that kind of thing. So I found this verse in the Psalm, Psalm 51:12. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Lord, I'm losing the joy, and I don't want to lose the joy. I want to feel the joy that I felt when I first came to know Jesus and what he's done for me and the excitement of that. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Because I don't want to quit. I don't want to give up. You know, I don't want to lose my energy and my passion. So grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. I repeat that verse to myself every day. And it does. It does what the verse asks for. It brings back the joy and it sustains my spirit. So this is, are you understanding what I'm saying by meditation? It's just taking the time to really let Scripture speak to us. But we don't just meditate on Scripture. We can meditate on God's works. That's what it says in Psalm 77:12. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. So largely this might be talking about God's works in nature, you know, looking at the stars and thinking about the God who created all of that in the universe. There's a verse in Psalm 93, verse 4, that talks about the roaring of the waves of the sea as they come in. And the psalmist indicates that the roar of those waves makes him think about how mighty God is, right? So we meditate on nature and it brings us to think about God. And then Psalm 48:9 says, within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Here's a suggestion, you know, if you want to try this, to come to church. I know it's hard sometimes, especially the early service, but if you could come to church a little bit early, I know there are people that do, and just take a few minutes to come in and just sit and quietly think about the love of God before we worship. You know, just to take that moment to think about what God has done for you and what we're here for and why we worship God, you know, just to put ourselves in an attitude of worship could really maybe transform for some of us how we approach the whole worship service, you know. So a thought. So Kristen Weatherall, let me give you this quote from Kristen Weatherall, sums up meditation like this. She says, to meditate then is to think deeply about what God has said to us in Scripture and to prepare our minds and hearts for prayer. Scripture fuels meditation and meditation fuels prayer. So let's talk about prayer. Here's a picture of our prayer walk. I didn't take this picture. The other pictures I took, this is Pastor Marcia took this when she went out recently on a walk, on our prayer walk. And if you're not familiar with a prayer walk, if you're new to Northgate, out behind our building, there is back in the woods a walk. And you can, and there's benches out there, there's crosses out there, and it just goes kind of winds through the woods. And you're welcome to go back there anytime. And you can bring friends, you know, whatever, you know, people do. You're welcome to go back and just take some time and walk through there. And Pastor Marcia was doing that, and she took this picture. So I wanted to share that with you. Prayer is one of those things that I think we complicate a lot. All right, I've read a lot of books on prayer. Years ago, I was reading, you know, trying to figure out how do you pray? I want to pray the right way. And what I've come to really believe is that we complicate prayer way too much, because prayer is simply talking with God. It's conversation with God. That's what prayer is. So here's what I'm saying about prayer today. To learning to talk with and listen to God is like learning to do that with anyone else. We need to have time, we need to have the desire to communicate, devote time to it, and be attentive. That's all. So, you know, I've shared about Deb and I before, but our getting together and all of that. I won't tell you the whole story, it's not pertinent now, but suffice to say, when Deb and I went on our first dates together 46 and a half years ago, the first few dates, we didn't talk to each other at all. We didn't want to be together. Right? We had no desire to date. It was friends of ours who put us together, you know, and we went out on these dates, but we did not care about one another at all. We didn't talk. That was fine with me. You know, we were just like, get this over with. Okay. And now here we are, 46 and a half years later. We've been married 40 years this August. I mean, you know, God does amazing things. God is a very interesting God. So here we are. But I tell you that to say, you know, we had to learn how to talk with each other. And can I tell you, we are still learning at times how to talk with each other, you know, how to really listen to one another, how to share things with each other, how to understand each other. That's not something that you just kind of like get and then it's all done. I think we continue to grow in this ability to converse, to talk, to share. And we need to do the same with God. You know, it can feel a little weird when we first come to know who God is, to talk to someone who's not physically in the room with us and standing or sitting in front of us. You know, it feels a little strange. But really, when you come down to it, God is just saying, you know, talk to me like you talk to your friends. You know, talk to me. You don't have to use fancy language. You don't have to, you know, just share with me. Just open up your heart and talk with me and listen to me. So it takes the desire to do that. It takes time to do that. And it takes our attentiveness. In Matthew 6, Jesus was teaching on prayer, and he said this: when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So what is Jesus telling us to do? He's saying, first of all, don't pray for show, okay? You know, don't pray, you know, so that they over there will know that you're praying. You know, talk to me, right? Just pray, talk with me, converse with me. He's saying sometimes we need to get alone and pray. Go into your room. Now, he said that in this context because he was talking about a group of people who were praying for show. He said, don't be like that. You know, you can go in a room and just pray all by yourself, you know, you and God talking. But Jesus also prayed in public. He's not saying it's always wrong to pray in public, okay? Jesus himself did that. But again, the point is you're talking with God, and that's where the conversation is going. Take comfort in knowing that God knows that you're praying. God's listening. He's aware. He's listening to you. And he will reward you. He will respond to your prayers. He calls God Father. And he does that purposely to say to us, listen, you're talking to the dad who loves you. Okay? When you pray, remember that. You're talking to the dad, the father, who loves you. And then he says, don't think you have to use a lot of words or just the right words, right? God knows what you need before you even ask, which raises a question. Well, then why do we have to ask? You know, if God knows what I need, why do I have to ask? For the same reason, sometimes as a parent, you will not do what your child needs you to do for them until they ask you, because you want them to recognize that it's okay to ask for help, to share with you what's going on with them, to come to you, right? And God wants that relationship. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to be dependent upon him. He wants us to be able to come to him and talk with him and listen to him. And that's the other part of prayer, is we need to be willing to listen, right? We need to take the time to let God speak to us and teach us what he wants us to know. All right, next picture. This is a picture of an empty bowl. And that represents, fasting. Thank you. We've talked about meditation. We've talked about prayer. Now let's talk a little bit about fasting. I don't like to fast. If you got my devotional this week, if you're fasting in that group, I said that in the devotional. I don't like to fast. I like to eat, okay? Last week, Deb was going to the grocery store on Saturday, and I was thinking about the Bills game. She said, do you want me to get you anything? I said, yeah, Cheetos, right? Or Chiefs Puffs, I forget what they are, the fluffy ones, okay? Not the, you know, those, that's, I like those things. But I'm also trying really hard to eat a little bit better. So that was the first thing out of my mouth. And after a few minutes, I said, no, just get some baby carrots. I know. But they're still orange and they're crunchy. So at least there's that, right? Okay. So all that, I like to eat. Because I like to eat, I need to fast. Do you get that? Because I like food, and I like a lot of junk food, I need to fast. And not fasting as a diet, because that's not fasting. You know, here's how I'm thinking about fasting. Fasting is the discipline of is a way to experience a deprivation that leads to a deeper devotion to God. Fasting is not dieting, okay? Dieting is deprivation. But it's for the purpose of losing some weight, right? Or looking better. That's not fasting. Fasting is giving something up intentionally so that I will focus more of my attention and devotion on God. That's what fasting is. And because I like to eat, I need to fast. I need to give up food for periods of time so that I am drawn to depend on God more than the food, right? To say, God, you're the one I really need. You know, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I think, what's he saying? He's saying, listen, yes, you need food to survive, right? You need that kind of sustenance, but I'm the real nourishment that you need. Even more than that bread, you need me to live and to survive. And that's why we fast. Now, not everybody fasts from food. You know, we have people fasting right now at Northgate, participating in that, and they're fasting from social media, or they're fasting from television and other things, right? And fasting is giving up something that I've come to rely on that provides me with, you know, comfort or makes me feel better or whatever, giving it up, and then when I feel the deprivation of that, drawing my attention to God, whom I really need, right? And for some of us, food would not be that big a deal, but if I told you, give up Facebook for the next 30 days, some of you would gasp, right? Be like, oh, but how can I? And maybe I'm just suggesting that gasp is an indication that that's really something you should think about, right? What are we so dependent on in this world that draws us away from depending on God? Fasting helps us to get in touch with that and to make a correction. When Jesus talked about fasting, again in Matthew chapter 6, he said, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they're fasting. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So Jesus is saying, listen, when you fast, don't make yourself miserable. You know, don't go to work and say, yeah, I can't watch Facebook. Pastor said I can't look at Facebook for the next month. Yeah, it's miserable. I hate it. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, don't do that, right? Don't even talk about it. Just do it, okay? Because who are you doing it for? You're doing it for God, and God knows you're doing it. So you don't have to make yourself look sad and miserable and unhappy, right? That's doing it for show. And this is not about doing anything for show. It's doing it to draw closer to the Lord. Jeremy Lineman says, fasting teaches us to be hungry. It's so easy in our world, in our culture especially, to never feel hunger, right? For whatever. You know, what do you need? It's right there, right? It's right there at your fingertip. You need to interact with somebody, boom, you get on the computer. Okay, pick up your phone, make a call. You want something to eat? It's there, right? It's so easy to stay satisfied in a general sense. Fasting teaches us to be hungry, and in our hunger, to look to God for what we need. Okay, we've talked meditation, prayer, fasting, one more, study. Here's a picture from my home. This is my dining room table, and this is as I was preparing a devotional on fasting this past week. This is what things look like. You see my Bible, some books. You see my colored pens and my colored markers, and you see in my Bible that I highlight things that God really kind of puts in my attention, okay, that stand out to me. So let's talk about studying for a minute. I love to study. I love to read. I love to study. It is a passion of mine. This past spring, I remember one Monday night I came home from the church, and it was a Monday where it was pretty quiet around here. There were a few people here and me, but there really wasn't a whole lot going on that day, and not a lot of interruptions and that kind of thing. And I got to spend the entire day reading and studying a chapter out of Revelation, and then preparing the notes for the group meeting that night. I just spent the entire day reading commentaries and studying on Revelation and putting the notes together. And I came home, and Deb said, how was your day? And I said, it was great. It was really good, because that's what I got to do. I got to spend the entire day studying this chapter out of Revelation and preparing the notes. I love to do that. Now, there's a lot of things about being a pastor I love to do, but I do like to study. I do like to read. I like to learn. Okay? I'm kind of wired that way. And I'm blessed. And I know that. I'm blessed to be paid to do something that I really enjoy doing. And I recognize not all of us have the opportunity to spend the time I get to spend studying the Bible, but that doesn't let us off the hook, okay? Just like we need to meditate, fast, and pray, we also need to be people who take the time as we have it to study the Bible, okay? To really understand as much as we can what God is saying. And you can do that in a number of ways. You can do that by getting a good Bible commentary, and as you read the Bible, you know, look at the commentary and see what it has to say. There's good study Bibles available. You can go to a group Bible study. One thing that we haven't mentioned in a while is the church subscribes to something called Right Now Media. And Right Now Media has thousands of teaching videos, as well as videos for children and parents and those kinds of things, marriages. There's all kinds of stuff on Right Now Media that would help you in this area. And it's free to you, okay? It won't cost you anything because the church subscribes to it. All you have to do is contact the office and get a password and open up an account and you're good, okay? And you can watch everything that's on Right Now Media. So if you haven't done that, please contact the office and check out Right Now Media. But it will help you to study God's Word. We need to do that. We need to study God's Word because that we are surrounded by so much information. We have so much information coming in all the time. But what we really need is to know, what does God think? That's what transforms us. And that's what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We want to know what God thinks, what he expects of us, you know, where things are going, what's happening to us, to the world. We need to take the time to study. You know, when I am meditating on the cross, I think about what Jesus did for me. Now, I didn't deserve that, right? I mean, I didn't deserve Jesus suffering on a cross and dying for me, but he did that for me. That's what the Bible says, and I believe it. He gave his life up to save me from my awful sinfulness so that I could have a new life. That moves me. That's when I meditate. But if I want to know why a cross, why did Jesus have to die on a cross? What was that about? Then I go into study, and I look through the Bible to see what the Bible has to say about Jesus and death and the cross and the sacrifices of the old system of the Old Testament and how that all fits together and God was leading up to this. That's study. Do you see there's a difference between meditating and studying? And we need to make room for both in our lives. When we study, we seek a greater understanding of God and God's Word. That's what study is about. Okay, let me close this message with two cautions and a suggestion. The first caution is this: if you try to practice spiritual disciplines, you can count on meeting resistance, okay? Count on meeting resistance, right? You will, with every intention, set your alarm clock for 5 a.m. Do people use alarm clocks anymore? You'll set your watch or phone for 5 a.m. and it won't go off for some reason that morning, right? For whatever, your battery will die and it won't go off and you'll sleep till 7 and you'll miss that morning. You'll have every intention of starting a fast this week, and that'll be the day you go to work and your boss says, I need you to join me at this very important luncheon meeting that we're having with some clients. Okay, it's going to happen. You're going to meet resistance. Things are going to happen and they're going to try to interfere, partly because we have an enemy in the world, Satan, who does not want you to practice spiritual disciplines. He does not, because he knows that this is how we grow closer to God. The world and its temptations are all around us, and our own sinful nature is going to get in the way. So we're going to meet with resistance as we try to practice these disciplines. Just know that. And also, the second caution is this: you're not going to do these perfectly. So don't expect to. You're going to fail, right? You're going to want to practice a discipline and then try really hard, and you'll be doing good for a while, and then you'll fail. I'm going to read my Bible every day for the next 60 days. Every morning I'm going to go up and read my Bible, and then one day you just can't for whatever reason. And you're going to feel, well, I messed up. I blew it. Do not make these legalisms, okay? Remember the order of things. God accepts and loves you because of your faith in Jesus Christ, not because you read your Bible every day. Okay? You read your Bible because God has accepted you and loved you, and you've responded to that, and you want to know him better. And if you miss a day of reading your Bible, can I tell you there are some days I don't have a lot to say to Deb? And you're saying, what is that? All I mean is, you know, some days we have deep, meaningful conversations. Sometimes it's just, hi, how you doing? Good. You know, and we're kind of quiet. We're introverts anyway. So all I'm saying is that was a terrible illustration. Like, rewind the tape and just forget about all that. All I'm saying is that relationships build over time, okay? And if you miss a day of reading your Bible, that doesn't mean you failed, right? Just pick it up the next opportunity you get and continue to grow. Continue to read, continue to study and meditate. Does that make sense? Yeah, okay. So, two cautions, here's a suggestion. We're gonna be talking about a lot of spiritual disciplines in this series. Just listen for the one or two that God is saying to you. I want you to try that. Don't try to do them all. Don't say, okay, I gotta spend an hour every day meditating, another hour praying, I gotta give up lunch every day, and I gotta spend an hour studying the Bible, right? I gotta add all that to my schedule. Not what I'm saying, okay? Not what I'm saying. God is gonna speak to you about a couple of things. He's gonna say, I'd like you to do these. So begin to work those into your life, right? And then when God leads you to work some others in, you know, then work on those, right? But this isn't a got to or else. This is just about wanting to build a stronger, closer relationship with the Lord and let him transform us through that relationship, okay? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you care about relationship and that you have invited us to have one with you. And we do want to grow in that. We want to have the very best relationship we can have with you. So thank you for providing us some means to do that and help us to apply these things as best we can with your help and the help of your Holy Spirit. We look forward to the transformation that you will bring about in us as you make us more and more like your Son, Jesus. In whose name we pray, amen. You're one of the broken, wretched that has found new life in Christ. How about saying praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen, or something? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, amen. If you don't know Jesus, we'd love to talk to you about him. He will give you new life, he will. And if you wanna know about him, please come down and talk to me. Pastor John is here, Pastor Marsha, Pastor Daniel. We would love to have that conversation. I really like this this word from Dallas Willard. We'll close with this. The world can no longer be left to mere diplomats, politicians, and business leaders. They've done the best they could, no doubt, but this is an age for spiritual heroes, a time for men and women to be heroic in their faith and in spiritual character and power. And that's what we're trying to encourage through the disciplines. So, think about the things we talked about today. Let God speak to you about it. But know this, that you go in the love of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.